Hello, I want to sound British today. Hello, it's Patrick Cox here in the World Newsroom in Boston, and this is The World in Words number 30. This week, open source comes to the rescue of the Aymara language of Bolivia. We also have some good old-fashioned road rage, Quechua style, plus hip-hop in Zulu and Swana.
As a free man, I take pride in the word, Ich bin ein Violiner.
Why, as an American, do I have to push a button to speak English?
Don't let me miss the open door. Show me where the open door is. Even if it's cracked up a little bit, man, maybe I'll plow right on through that.
Yuxamash! Thank you, Borat. And though it saddens me, Donald Rumsfeld is now retired from this podcast billboard. Bring on La Palin. The World is co-produced by the BBC World Service, Public Radio International, and WGBH in Boston. You can hear the big show on more than 250 public radio stations around the United States. For more on that, for more on all of our podcasts, go to theworld.org. For more on this podcast and to post your comments, go to the Facebook group, The World in Words. We got a nice lineup today. How open source technology is helping one of Bolivia's minority languages. Also, a couple of hits from South Africa. There's disagreement over what the Pledge of Allegiance there should say. And a piece on South African hip-hop, which is surprisingly quite un-American in both its tone and its language. Or languages, I guess I should say. First, Bolivian officials this week asked the U.S. to extradite their former president, Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozada. And the reason? Well, while he was running Bolivia, there were riots. He ordered a military crackdown. At least 60 people died. A lot of those people were Aymara Indians. They are the second largest ethnic group in Bolivia. Their most famous son is none other than the current president, Evo Morales, no friend of the United States. Now, there are more than a million speakers of the Aymara language in Bolivia alone, with more in Peru, Chile, and Argentina. But even so, until very recently, there wasn't any computer software programs developed for Aymara speakers. That has now changed, as Ruxandra Guidi reports from La Paz.
Urquian Ricardo López and Amos Bado are sitting in the basement of the Anthropology Museum in La Paz. Their office is dark and cramped. There are piles of dust-covered books everywhere, and museum posters line the walls. Since March of this year, López and Bado have been working out of this office on a project that is finally seeing the light. It's called AbiWord, a computer software program written in the Aymara language.
Ahí está, machaca, quiere decir nuevo.
On this day, López is giving AbiWord a test run. Each time he clicks on the top left corner of the computer screen, a long Aymara word scrolls down. He says kipi means archive, machaca is new, and kun kamimanya is to save. López says that translating other computer terms into Aymara hasn't been easy.
Por ejemplo, tenemos un problemita que no podemos traducir columna.
He says, right now we're having a bit of a hard time translating column, but we think that the Aymara word for standing up or being in the upright position could do the trick. López's first language is Aymara. He grew up in the high plains near La Paz. Bado is American, but he taught himself Aymara 4 years ago. And after that, he decided to come to Bolivia with a grand project idea, to develop technologies that would help in the preservation of the Aymara language.
Hoy en día hay mucha demanda para mucho material en Quechua, Aymara, otras lenguas indígenas.
Bado says, these days there's a great demand for learning tools in Aymara, but most teachers in Bolivia don't have access to dictionaries, web-based materials, or word processors in their native languages. So what we're now trying to do is create the tools that they need. We're not just talking about helping teachers. What we want to do is transform the language. So the Bolivian anthropologist and the American software designer set out to give the language new life in a cyber world by coming up with AbiWord, the first open-source software in Aymara. Open-source technologies have become increasingly popular in Latin America. Many governments are embracing open source because it allows them to change the program to suit their needs. And unlike Microsoft, open source software isn't driven by making money. Its goal is to address specific educational and community needs. And it's completely free. On a recent evening, Barro and López finally unveiled AbbeyWord to the general public and to government officials. A PowerPoint presentation was projected on one wall. The audience, made up of both Spanish and Aymara speakers, seemed lost, not only by the presentation, but by the wider world of computers and technology. David Mendoza is a Bolivian sociologist and an Aymara speaker. He says the new Aymara open source software may be a good idea, but he says it's not really accessible and not necessarily appropriate for the people it's supposed to help. Mendoza says, when they bring new technologies to indigenous communities, it only makes them more dependent on others. The new technologies are like the tractors that were brought 50 years ago as part of the agrarian revolution in Bolivia, which are now sitting there, getting rusted. What's needed is a team of people who know how to really use and fix all of those tractors. Mendoza says the Aymara-speaking community needs more literacy programs and business incentives, not tractors or software. Meanwhile, the creators of AbbeyWord say they're now working on other open-source Aymara programs, and they're putting out a call to Aymara speakers throughout Bolivia to help design them. For The World, I'm Rusandra Guidi, La Paz, Bolivia.
We're going to stay in Bolivia for our Tough to Translate segment. And the language in question here is the only indigenous language that is more widely spoken than Aymara. It is Quechua. And this phrase is actually not that tough to translate, but it sounds really cool and it's a good story. So we're going to do it anyway. And here to tell the story is my footy playing buddy, Cedar Mendizabal. Cedar grew up in Brentwood, Long Island, where his Quechua-speaking grandmother would drive him around from place to place. Of course, when some nasty local driver cut her off, she'd need to say something.
She would yell out this one phrase called Sikita Muchawa, which is not so friendly, but I guess she didn't want us, me, my other brothers, to know that my grandmother was cursing at the other drivers while she was driving. And the phrase is, kiss my butt. Brentwood, Long Island was pretty much diverse, so even other Latin American or Hispanic drivers wouldn't know what she was talking about because it's a Quechua dialect, so it was totally foreign to them too. So, and they would just look at her like, you're crazy, but it was just all in the moment of road rage. So, but I know that's something that she didn't want to tell us, but afterwards when I was older, I once asked her like, oh, what exactly does that mean? And she told me, and yeah, that's how I picked up that one phrase, Sikita Muchawa.
Something else to say next time you're behind the wheel. So next week, I'll finally do a naming ceremony for this segment. Live music, drinks, celebs, we'll have it all. I have a few suggestions for this name that have come in from people, stuff also that I've thought up. But please send me any more suggestions that you might have either on Facebook or via email. The email address is language@pri.org. Right, as the Brits say. South Africa. Here's a country that has had to reinvent itself and its institutions since the end of apartheid. There has been the reworked national anthem. We had a story on that in The World in Words number 1. And now the South African government wants students to start the day the way many American school children do, with a Pledge of Allegiance. Sounds okay, but what about the words to the pledge? Can people agree on the words? No. Here's a report from Terry Fitzpatrick in Cape Town.
South Africa's education minister, Naledi Pandor, recently unveiled a draft of the pledge at Parliament.
We, the youth of South Africa, recognizing the injustices of our past, honor those who suffered and sacrificed for justice and freedom. We will respect and protect the dignity of each person and stand up for justice. We sincerely declare.
The full pledge is 10 lines long and ends with the words, "Diverse people unite, Lord bless Africa." But instead of uniting South Africans, the text has sparked an outcry.
References to injustices of the past. Every nation has past injustices. Why must we dwell on them?
I just think it's propaganda.
The pledge proposal lit up the switchboard at Cape Talk Radio.
We're constantly bickering at this white and black thing.
Host Aidan Thomas says it touched a nerve.
There's been massive negative reaction to the pledge in some way making reference to injustices of the past. And perhaps that's symptomatic of just how we are not fully dealing with many of the social problems we have in our country, where people don't want to be reminded of it.
In many ways, injustice continues. The end of apartheid brought political change, but many neighborhoods are still segregated and the crime rate is among the world's worst. Teachers worry children are growing up without a sense of national unity or civic pride.
There's a deep need on the part of the education department to be seen to be responding to these kinds of issues, to be talking about good citizenship.
That's education professor Crane Sodine at the University of Cape Town. He says schools aren't teaching children how to live in a multicultural society. He calls the pledge superficial.
This is simply sweet-talking South Africans into a particular mode of dealing with each other's differences and their relationships with each other.
Last December, the ruling African National Congress called for political schooling of new party members and better civics education. A few weeks after that, government officials proposed the Pledge of Allegiance for children. Political analyst Zweletu Jalobe worries it imposes politics on kids.
I found it very suspect overall that there is this grand announcement of this pledge. It means that there are much more sinister motives, perhaps, behind it that have to do primarily with party political issues and not with what is needed in the public schooling sector.
Not everyone opposes the pledge. Many like the idea but feel the wording needs work. The education minister is now accepting public comment. She concedes that issuing a draft before holding hearings was a mistake. It broke a basic classroom rule here. Ask permission before you speak. For The World, I'm Terry Fitzpatrick in Cape Town.
I was in South Africa last year reporting a few stories, and one thing I knew I really wanted to do was a story on hip-hop because it's been so caught up in politics, regular politics, and also the politics of language, which are pretty complicated there. Here's a report that I did for The Big Show.
To get the story of South African hip-hop, I needed to talk to Lee Kazumba. She's a DJ, writer, and all-round authority on the rap scene there. I caught up with Kazumba at Johannesburg's airport, which, like everything in South Africa, is undergoing transition, so it's a little chaotic. I'd just arrived from New York. Lee was on her way out of town, en route to Norway, to speak at a conference on youth and HIV. We set up shop at an airport restaurant. I asked Lee to begin at the beginning.
The rise of hip-hop in South Africa, well, basically, I think the earliest would be with Prophets of the City, that, to my remembrance, you know, because during Nelson Mandela's inauguration, they performed that song, Excellent, the first black president.
Ah, excellent, finally a black president to represent. I know it, so I speak it, I saw it, so I rip it. The poet will freak it when I flow with a beat. So I dedicate this to those who are down with the revolution. All over the world and never schools it. I dedicate this to those who are down with the struggle, G, even when things got ugly. Cause the black race always at a slap face. Cause freedom moves at a whack pace. It sometimes takes a miracle to see my people free. Cause it's not done easily. So
this was the song that put hip-hop on the map in South Africa. It was 1994. Before then, hip-hop had been an underground movement whose fans were mainly poor, mixed-race kids living in squatter camps around Cape Town. But Prophets of the City changed that.
They had Nelson Mandela on their video and they sampled him in the song. So Prophets of the City is probably the first, and they were very actively involved in the fight against apartheid. That was like way back then, you know?
It was probably the first time that many black South Africans had heard hip-hop. But not Lee Kazumba.
What happened is that my dad, he used to travel a lot, particularly to England, because we had family there, and he would bring us all the music. Like, we never said, oh, I want to listen to hip-hop. I just remember my dad just always bringing us stuff, you know? And then my mother, like, you know, took the cassettes away, and then my dad re-bought it. And now he's like, what are you doing with all this rap business? I'm like, it's you, daddy, it's you.
Like her father, Lee was born in Uganda, and she sometimes felt the sting of discrimination in South Africa. That's partly why she was drawn to the international style of hip-hop. At college, she began DJing at a Johannesburg radio station.
I was part of a show, which is part of history, Harambe, which is Swahili for Let's Pull Together. And the whole idea behind Harambe was that we were creating a platform for the hip-hop culture that was already on the streets, but not just in South Africa, but like across the continent. And then somebody did a song called Harambe, which became like huge.
Harambe. This is Hip Hop Pansula. He's one of Lee Kazumba's favorites. Harambe pays tribute to older South Africans who fought to end apartheid. It brought more attention to the genre across South Africa.
And then the South African Music Awards put in a best rap category. I don't know how credible that is, but they did put in a best rap category. Then you had TV shows coming out. You know, a lot of the stuff was a bit cheesy, but it was like we all had this passion. And me being from another African country, and obviously with the issues of xenophobia, the way that I felt that I fitted in the most was through hip-hop. So I thought, yo, let me use something that I understand.
Like Lee Kazumba, and like a lot of people involved in South African rap, Hip Hop Pansula is an outsider. He grew up in rural South Africa, far from Johannesburg, where all the music deals are made. He raps not just in English, but also in his native Tswana, and his songs sometimes draw on much older styles. It's music like this that answers the criticism leveled against South African hip-hop, that its practitioners put on fake American accents and end up sounding like pale imitations of Tupac or Jay-Z. For the real South African music of today, those critics say, you should listen to the musical genre known as Kwaito. Kwaito is way bigger than hip-hop in South Africa. Its best-known performers, like this one, Zola, are household names here. The rhythms derive from house music that's then slowed down, with lyrics delivered in a street slang that borrows from most of the country's 11 languages. Kwaito's lyrics mainly steer clear of politics. The songs are more likely to be about getting rich or getting it on, which makes Kwaito closer to a lot of American hip-hop than to South African hip-hop.
I have the same problem. You and I, mama, could make a good team. Now, yes, boy, then look to love we as fella.
It's only in the 13 years since the end of apartheid that most South Africans have had the chance to express themselves freely. No wonder there are claims and counterclaims about authenticity. But as far as Lee Kazumba's concerned, the rivalry between Kwaito and hip-hop is a major case of whatever.
For me, like, I hate getting into the Kwaito and hip-hop debate, like, because it always happens, you know? I think that the competition is put because people try to make people compete against one another, as opposed to just, okay, this is what you do, this is what I do, then it's fine. You know, there are moments where you sort of, like, can't tell the difference, or when one person will, like, jump on a hip-hop beat or whatever, but that's music. That's how it is.
And how it is in South Africa right now is good, says Lee. Set aside the stories of poverty and violent crime for a moment, she says, just long enough to appreciate what's working about the place. All the rebuilding, the new opportunities, a new optimism among the young. Remember, she says, how many times Africa has been written off.
You know, like a few years ago, you would have asked me, and I've been, I can't wait to leave the continent and I'm gone, you know. Now you can't pay me enough to not live here. I've just fallen so in love, and a lot of young people are feeling the same way. It's cool to speak in your own language, you know, to mix it up. It's cool to be, you know what I mean? Like, that's a cool thing. It's cool to go and hang out in different townships. Like, that's the in thing. So I cannot not believe in African hip-hop, because that would mean I don't believe in what's going on in the continent, because it's all unified, you know?
See, I'm an African, without a doubt, that's what I'm about. Yes, I'm an African, without a doubt, that's what I'm about. Said I'm an African, without a doubt, that's what I'm about. Yes, I'm an African.
As Lee Kazumba leaves to catch a flight to Norway, she hands me a bag full of more than a dozen CDs. Just the tip of the iceberg, she says. We don't talk about this song, but it seems appropriately continental. A collaboration between Zulu rappers H2O and Zimbabwean transplant Zoobs. For the world, I'm Patrick Cox, Johannesburg.
That's what I'm about. This African blood is running through my veins. Tamarind Mountain be my home. My Pinel River be my waterbed. I'm African. Sengbona bamhlophe baphotha ama dread. You wanna be black, you second hand. Wazalile China, maSwazalanda besuthi this is your motherland. I don't understand who's African, who's not, who's European, who's not. Mina ngiSowetan, I know. Ngiphume Soweto mfana for sure. Zone 4, igeto mo, mapantula galo. Even though laba abanye basibiza ngama animals, so sad to see abafethu babhona ngenxa yala ma drugs, yo.
That's it for The World in Words this week. Talk to you again next week. Remember, naming ceremony.
And if you're rocking sporty shoes, you automatically lose being African. African. If you don't sound like you from there, then them quick to declare you're not an African. African. What if you're white or Indian, born from the motherland, are you not African? Well, I am African.
An African, yeah. Mindi Pezulu game a mass again, but then again, what about Ingamla and my Indian and Craig Mundum Funuazi, Pencil Ayami Tuntu, yeah, Sutu, Luda Davis and Mandelon is strong, or God one party was strong, or in Tanga Pugat in his way, so Tanjo Mada was Pagabag, Kamajo was Tingo and Kosa Zai, Mustangani, Mustambani, Spain, Bumba, Spain, the
Lord. You're wearing baggy jeans, then tell me, does it mean you're not an African? An African. And if you're rocking sporty shoes, you automatically lose being African. African. If you don't sound like you from there, then them quick to declare you're not an African. African. What if you're white or Indian, born from the motherland, are you not African? Well, I am African. See, I'm an African. Without a doubt, that's what I'm about. Yes, I'm an African. Without a doubt, that's what I'm about. Said I'm an African. Without a doubt, that's what I'm about. Yes, I'm an African. Without a doubt, that's what I'm about. Yes, I'm an African.